Rosh Hashanah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Base, 1-2. Now our Mishnah will discuss when Hashem judges the world, and it will say, Ba'arba Prakim. There are actually four different junctures, Ha'olam Nidon, on which the world is judged. So we'll see here. Let me read you the whole Mishnah first to see it all. Be'Pesach al Ha'tavua, on the holiday of Pesach, there's a judgment regarding the grain. Be'Atzeret al Peros Ha'elon, on the holiday of Shavuos, referred to as Atzeres, the Mishnah, there's a judgment regarding the fruit of the trees. Barosh Hashanah, on our Rosh Hashanah, Kol Baya Olam, over in the fun of Kimne Maron, everyone passes before Hashem. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, Hayotu Yacha Libam Hamevin Eskol Maasehem. Hashem knows what's going on with everybody. He sees everyone with the blink of an eye, and the judgment is on everybody. And then Uvachag, and on the holiday of Sukkot, referred to as Chag, Nidon Nalamayim, there's a judgment on water. Okay, let me take this apart piece by piece. But first of all, you see there are basically two different categories, right? There's the judgment on all of humanity, and then there's the judgments on each of the three pilgrimage festivals regarding a specific aspect of blessing. So let's just take those apart in turn and discuss how they could work together. When it comes to Pesach al Hatavua, the judgment on Pesach is for the grain. This makes sense in as much as this is the beginning of the ripening of the grain, and that's when the blessing and the judgment happens. A brisa brings down in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that Hashem asks us to bring a korban, an offering, the korban omer, that barley offering that's brought from the barley, which is the first of the ripening grains, so that we may bring this offering and he may bless us, because that's when he's judging us. And it's the textual basis to a source that shows that the judgment happens on Pesach for grain, is that that's when Hashem wants to give us a blessing regarding his judgment. Same goes for Ba'atzeres al Peros Ha'elon, on Shavuos, the judgments regarding the fruit of the trees. Again, Hashem requests we bring the Shtei HaLechem, these two loaves of bread that are made from wheat, and when we bring that offering and wave it before Hashem, we get the blessing regarding our fruit. And finally, I'm skipping over the mission, going out of order now, when it comes to Bechag, and on Sukkot, Nidon Alamayim, the judgments on water, that's the beginning of the rainy season. And we bring this, we're commanded to bring this water libation, like the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you'll call it, is the water libation done throughout Sukkot. And by doing so, Hashem will bless us regarding water. So it makes sense, the beginning of the grain is Pesach, the beginning of the fruits ripening is Shavuos, the beginning of the rainy season is Sukkot, and therefore it's an appropriate time to get judged, and therefore Hashem gives us a mechanism to earn a blessing and a good judgment. There is a bit of a question, perhaps, in as much as the Shavuos part, how we see that the connection between ripening grain and bringing the Omer, water and bringing the water libation, how exactly is bringing the Shtei HaLechem, the wheat loaves of bread, exactly appropriate for getting a judgment regarding fruit on the trees? So the way the Brisa presents it, it just says matter of fact, and the rationale would be that according to that Tana, the fruit that Adam HaRishon, Adam, ate back in the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden, was wheat. Wheat used to grow on trees proper, and he holds it was wheat, and therefore it's appropriate. The fruit on the tree is wheat, that's an appropriate thing to bring. Period. That's the sources. I've heard it said many times, echoing this idea, that what we bring on Shavuos are the first fruits, Bikurim, and that, of course, would give us a blessing regarding our first fruits. That makes a lot of sense. It sounds very nice. It happens in a view what the Brisa says, but that's that. Okay, now those are the three specific judgments regarding produce and rain. Now, the other part is that it says, Uvarosh Hashanah, on the Rosh Hashanah, meaning on the first of Tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boi Olam, everybody on planet Earth, every person, every human being, Ovrin Lefanav, pass before God, Kivnei Maron. According to the Bartanura, this means like little sheep. Maron is a cognate of the word Imrana. Imrana means sheep in Aramaic, and it means like little sheep, the same way that a shepherd counts every sheep. They go in and go out, they come in and out through a little, like, you know, a little opening inside the corral, one at a time, and he keeps an eye on each one of them. So to Hashem, every single person passes for Hashem one at a time. He's the great shepherd, so to speak, who looks after his flock, each and every individual. And that's the reference here. the Gemara brings two other pshatim. One is that Maron is like from a lashon of Marus, which means like the authorities, referring to soldiers who are subject to the authority of the king. In the same way soldiers march carefully, they are each scrutinized one at a time, they're held to a high standard. So too all of humanity, in the same way, servants of Hashem, so to speak, are judged individually to march to do Hashem's bidding and so on. The third pshat is, it's a reference to like the city of Meron, and it's Kamalos Beis Maron, like the ascent up to the place called Meron, like made famous nowadays because of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's tomb being there. I should point out that Shammai's tomb is also there, etc. But in any case, so the ascent up to Meron was like a narrow, treacherous ascent with a narrow path on which people have to walk single file as they fall off the edge. The idea is similar to being that people are walking up the mountain and they're being judged one at a time, passing single file, each getting scrutinized by Hashem. At all events, the point is that Hashem judges everybody individually. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, Hayotzer Yachad Libam, the one who forms their hearts together, Hamevin El Kol Ma'aseim, he understands all their acts. Hashem knows the motivations and depth of every person's actions. The fact that it's referring to him as being the Yotzer, the one who formed them, indicates certainly that the time that's appropriate for judging them is the day in which they were formed, humanity was formed, which is the first day of Tishrei, when Adam Rishon was formed. Okay, so that's the judgments of Rosh Hashanah as we know it, that everyone's judged. There's a bit of a question, how to reconcile these two things. If everyone's getting judged in Rosh Hashanah, what's the relevance of the judgments that are happening on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot? So the resolution of this question kind of revolves typically around sort of like Hashgacha Pratis and Kalalis, a general or a specific judgment. That is to say that, you know, Hashem judges you as an individual on Rosh Hashanah, but the world is all how much rain will fall, total quantity of rain, or how much fruit will grow, etc., the quality of the fruit. That's done on the respective other days of judgment, and he puts those two things together. And what's really important to understand here, I want to make sure a Hashgachic point before we move on, is that the Torah and Judaism does not believe in predestination. Even if Hashem judges you for such and such in Rosh Hashanah, that just means that if everything goes according to the normal course of events, but you're always able to change your decree either by your bechira, by your free choice, by doing tshuva. Certainly you have until Yom Kippur, for starters, everyone knows that, to change things around for a benoni. But that's the reason why you hear there's still, you know, what happens till Hoshana Rabbah and so on and so forth. When the Torah says something is going to happen, it only means unless people do something extraordinary to change the course of events. But you can. That's certainly true. Similarly, if it says, the Torah says, you know, 40 days before the Yetzirah Savlad, the child is, you know, formed in utero, the voice comes out in heaven and says, you know, this is the Shidduch, so-and-so will marry so-and-so. Even though that's true that it happens, that just means under the normal circumstances of course events. But you can do something abnormal to change the course of your life so that you won't marry your Shidduch, et cetera, et cetera. My point here is that it's not a fatalistic religion, or there's nothing as predetermination or even as fate. No, Hashem guides each person's life with precision in Hashgacha Pratis, and a person can certainly change whatever is decreed at any time based on his doing tshuva and earning it and so on. And that's very, very important to know.